Off the Ball, GAA.
I didn't have a great really relationship with County Board after that at all. Yeah, it was just a funny kind of a moment. It's well known, like, I got stamped on that day.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
The Racing Pod
on Off the Ball
with William Hill. Best odds guaranteed on all Irish and UK racing. 18 plus. See gamblingcare.ie.
And you're welcome to episode 47 of the Racing Pod with John Duggan and Johnny Ward here on Off the Ball. Remember, we're here every Friday with analysis, race previews, tips, stories, interviews, and the crack. The first half of the pod each week free to air, the second part exclusively for members. So be sure to sign up by going to offtheball.com/join. This week for members, we're going to look at Ascot on Saturday in depth. We'll obviously do the champion stakes race in the free to air chat. We'll also focus on Sunday's Munster National at Limerick on this week's show. So we always have lots of other races that we go through in the second part of the show, so always worth subscribing. Johnny, I was not here. You, David Jennings, last week. Did you tip any winners?
I think we did okay. Seems like a long time ago now. It was, where was I last weekend? I was down the country in Mallow, actually, and that was a decent card. I think we did okay, yeah. I probably should have done more research on how our tips did last weekend. It was a good show. There's plenty happening since as well.
Yeah, what are the main stories for you at the moment? Is it the gambling bill?
Yeah, there are a couple of things. The Alfonso Grand being thrown out of the Cesaro, which I suppose is...
I was away. What happened to this?
I just find that this whole thing is really, really troubling. You have a situation where a big lucrative race is won last Saturday by Jamie Powell. And Jamie, we might have had him on our show before here, actually. He's a young guy, Jamie, who was essentially had a brilliant apprentice season last season. But he's found the progression this season really difficult. Like, his numbers were poor, and he just probably hasn't been on a lot of kind of fancied horses, but he's been having a... Given his reputation, he's having a very quiet season this season, and he won the big race, but he was basically, the horse was thrown out, and he was given a 28-day ban for overuse of the whip. I'll quote Richie Forrestal in the Racing Voice. He said, "This is a deeply cynical policy that has been evident for as long as the British Horse Racing Authority has betrayed its immutable whip fixation, one that infers it is a threat to racing's very existence, a fallacy that I called out when the outgoing chief executive, Julie Harrington, referenced some mysterious research that supposedly found that people who had no interest in racing thought it was a cruel sport." I think that hits the nail on the head. And they have whip rules where, I think you're, to be fair to the rules, if you hit the horse... 6 times you're within the rules. If you hit the horse 10 times, which Jamie's was basically found to have done, you're disqualified and you get a 28-day ban. But I've made this point a million times, JD. The whip is a complete misnomer. It's not a whip. It's a little piece of rubber that basically makes a noise. Doesn't hurt the horse in the slightest. Not in the slightest.
I remember Barry Garrity used the whip on me on my hands. It doesn't have any effect. More of a psychological guide to a horse.
Yeah, and
to make him run faster.
The crack, the noise, it's exactly psychological. But just so then obviously the decision was only made. Was it on Monday or Tuesday? Anyway?
So on the day, because I didn't see the race, 33-1 shot. On the day they're celebrating and everything. Is that the way it works?
Yeah, and it was a brilliant finish. Like, it's a staying race. They'd split into two groups, kind of, and Cathy O'Leary trains the horse. She's taken over from Tony Martin, which is another layer to the story, obviously, her brother, because he's suspended. And Tony Martin blotted his own copybook when he celebrated the horse win in Newcastle when he shouldn't have. He shouldn't have been there. It was bad PR on his part, and I'm sure he accepts that now. But it was a brilliant finish, and I was so delighted for Jamie Powell, and then he's banned for 28 days. It's just like, where is the logic in this? Like, and I can see where there's a disqualification, but it's more so, JD, when a jockey like rides dangerously, I feel they get away with way more of that than this, like, which is basically just window dressing from the BHA and showing its insecurity again.
Okay, and we also have the gambling bill going through. This is going to be law in 2026. There hasn't been any kind of gambling regulation or legislation in this country for decades, so it does make sense. From a perspective of, like, dealing with, you know, inducements and problem gamblers and helping them. And I suppose the key thing that James Brown, the minister in the Department of Justice, has brought in or will be bringing in is the banning of any advertising by gambling firms between the hours of 5:30 a.m. and 9 p.m. So you'll only see gambling ads during the watershed, which I think is fine. But there is an impact then on racing, specialist racing TV channels. Now, you work for Racing TV, as we know, Johnny, and that could be affected, that it's very difficult for them to maybe argue that they can have a subscription service over 18s on a satellite channel because they need bookmakers to get involved in underwriting that from an advertising point of view. So they've got a challenge now because of this legislation.
Yeah, I suppose, I mean, I should point out I could lose a lot of work here. This could basically cost me a lot of money, but that has nothing to do with my view on this. I really think this is totally, totally over the top. It's nanny state gone mad. And I work for, you know, betting companies here or there. I also have a bet. I will 100% stand over my view that betting companies have behaved appallingly over the years, like really, really bad. And we've seen the examples of that. But things have changed massively, where bookmakers now are whether they like it or not, they're frightened of the fines that they get for behaving in a manner that would put punters at risk. And that's fine. But between affordability checks and restrictions and all of that, and all of these things coming in, betting on racing is in a dangerous place where it is. And the BHA chief executive, Julie Harrington, who I've already referenced, she was quoted in the Racing Post this week. The BHA has revealed Tuesday that betting turnover on the sport is down 9.5% this year. That's in 1 year. That's massive. 9.5% in 1 year. And we know anecdotally that the betting exchange liquidity are down by maybe even more than half at this stage, but have plummeted. Racing is absolutely reliant on people betting on it. To basically finance itself. And if you're telling me that I'm not responsible for my child by subscribing to a racing TV channel that can show betting ads during racing, racing does not exist without betting. It simply does not exist. And racing and betting have been basically tied together since they began. It does not exist without people betting on it. And James Brown, for him to just flippantly say, sure, it'll be grand, they'll figure it out, or other people will want to advertise in racing TV, that is just not the case. You're not going to get Cartier, you're not going to get all of these fancy brands to advertise between the Beverly race and the Catterick race. It's betting companies that want to advertise. And if you're telling me that I'm not responsible for paying a racing TV subscription and that I can't look after my child because it's somehow a danger to him during the hours of whatever it is during the day, yet then at 10 o'clock at night you can start all your degenerate gambling, because you know that's when people have drink on them and they can now look at all the gambling ads. I think it's ridiculous.
So
dangerous.
What about the terrestrial TV? So is it just the racing channels you have an issue with? Like, so say RT, or would you have an issue with no gambling advertising on that station, for example, our national station?
No, I think there's definitely an argument there where even if, for example, RT is showing racing from the Curra, if James Brown were to decide we're not going to allow gambling ads run that because it's on terrestrial TV, I can actually completely see where he's coming from there, because anyone can be watching that.
Yeah.
But the point is, if you're paying for a channel, you're paying for a racing channel, it's completely different. It's a subscription service. And, you know, I have serious misgivings around gambling in football and that, and gambling companies supporting football teams. And like, I don't want my kid going to a football match and seeing like a gambling company on the jersey. That's my opinion. You can have a different opinion, that's fine. But I feel football is changing in that regard, and the Gaelic Athletic Association has been very, very good, because the Gaelic Athletic Association is cognizant of the fact there have been a lot of instances of problem gambling within the sport, some high profile cases, and they don't want this, and that's fine. But it's completely different, JD, with the subscription channel. And like, I have to make this point very clear. Racing is in a dangerous place in terms of people betting on it. It needs people betting on it. And the way that people are now betting on football and in running and all other markets is worrying for racing, because going forward, its future is far from secure. And this is damaging. I interviewed James Brown for the Currency 2 or 3 years ago. I thought he was very, very decent. He gave me a very good interview. I did not expect this.
Now, it's 47 million quid a year that Racing TV are paying Irish Horse Racing Ireland for the rights. That's correct, if I believe. Like, there's a quote from the Irish Sun, an interview with James Brown last year. Racing TV say it's 2 million and what it'll cost them to have a different feed. They haven't shown us any evidence of that cost. I've talked to a number of broadcasters as well. Other broadcasters say it's straightforward to split a feed now. A lot of it's just software at this stage. You can split a feed in terms of what advertisements are shown in two different houses beside each other, never mind two countries. Even if you accept the 2 million, which is questionable, that's a tiny fraction of the contract worth hundreds of millions of euros, and a contract that was entered into in the face of government policy. The way the legislation is designed, anything you can see in a horse race today, you can see once the legislation passes. So we're making exemptions for advertising hoarding on a track. You can still call it the Paddy Power Cup. You can still have people from Boyle Sports or Ladbrokes on your show talking about odds of 3-1 or whatever. That's all factual information. So there's no impact here on the broadcasting. It's specifically the ads. And to add to that, Sky Sports Racing have introduced now a separate service for Ireland as a daytime ban on the gambling advertising looms. So maybe Sky have got the money behind this to do that, but they've been able to split the feed.
Yeah, and I mean, again, I do work for Racing TV, and, you know, what I'm reading is basically what everyone else is reading, and that Racing TV is like, we're not comparable to Sky. We're a small independent company. Sky is obviously absolutely massive. Sky can lose a lot of money every year on various things, and, you know, it can obviously, it has so many people basically subscribing to it. It's obviously able to cushion the blow, but this is, people, like, companies do not want to advertise effectively on these channels unless they're betting companies. And that is literally the reality of it, JD. And I'm not sure you, in terms of the race courses here are 100% reliant on the media rights money. So we need two people, whether it's Sky Sports or whether it's Racing TV, we need two people bidding against each other for this. And I don't know where this is going to go down the tracks, but I must reiterate again, everything I'm hearing from within the industry, the betting turnover on racing is in a dangerously bad place as it is. We do not need this at all. And I James Brown's like utter intransigence in the matter really, really surprised me. It's like, I can see why you want to take on the gambling companies. But if you did this in 2000, that's one thing. Things have changed massively. Gambling companies are behaving way, way better now. Way better, like, because the fines have been great and they've realised they couldn't go on with the Wild West practices that were going on. This has changed. And this is, and I'll actually quote Matty McGrath as well, who I thought was, I certainly wouldn't agree with everything he says, but he said in the Dáil, "There are unintended consequences, and the Minister of State refuses to engage with the industry at any level, which is a serious wrong. These people are enablers and invest their time, money and sweat and everything else. There are families who have nurtured the horse racing industry at small levels, and they need to be supported and protected. One size does not fit all. It is difficult." That's exactly it. And obviously, James Brown isn't here to answer to that. But I'd agree with him entirely on that. It's massively damaging. This could be seriously, seriously damaging for the industry.
And once again, James Brown, as I said in the Sun entry, because he is not here to put his point of view across, there's 130,000 problem gamblers in Ireland, from the ESRI report, and he sees it, and the government, obviously Micheál Martin, who's, you know, I think asked him to do this, they see it as a public health issue.
The 130,000, that figure is absolute pie in the sky. I think you had to be interested in the topic to take that ESRI survey. That 130,000 people with a problem gambling, that's absolute nonsense, JD.
What's your evidence for that?
It's because if you look at the way that survey was conducted, I think you had to have an interest in the topic to actually be in the survey. Now, I'm kind of going back in my mind here, but that figure, and I've spoken to people in the industry, that figure is absolutely pie in the sky. There is no way that figure is accurate. Unless a problem gambler is a fella having two bets at the races. Like.
Do you agree that the legislation is necessary?
Yes, 100%. And I mean, you brought this up off air. Is there stuff in the legislation to stop bookmakers from cutting accounts left, right and centre, which has been a major problem for all of us? I don't know.
It's never said bookmakers indulge losing accounts. Mm. And you say they're doing it more responsibly, but they close winning accounts. There's an unfair system here.
It's totally unfair. And I've argued this for years and years and years, where you can't, like, a tiny percentage, and maybe it's 2 or 3%, a tiny percentage win. So on one level, what bookmakers have been doing for racing in recent years, if you go to the racetrack now, the punters have brilliant selection and the bookmakers have so many incentives. It's great on one level. But on the other level, like, those who win are just chopped left, right and centre. And I sincerely hope, Minister Brown, you're dealing with this in the legislation as well.
OK, just to finish on this, Suzanne Ead, who's the boss of Horse Racing Ireland, says, like, nothing's going to go off air when we're talking about the pictures. I mean, just quote here from a Racing Post article a few months ago. We're still working with RMG and we're still working with the department. The solution will be found. We have a bit of time to put a solution in place. We have a media rights deal in place that requires Irish racing to be broadcast in Ireland. That's where I am on the issue. It's not going to fall off a cliff edge. That's been promised to us by the minister. We're talking about 2026. That's what we've been told. We've no concrete date from anyone as to when this goes live. She says it's going to be on air. Like, the solution will be found. We've got time to put one in place. So we'll see what that solution is.
Yeah, and the Racing TV, I mean, the head of RNG, who's, I think he's leaving actually at the end of the year. I've never met him or whatever, but I think he's basically saying, we're talking 2026, which gives some time to come up with a solution. And I know, like, racing's amazing at playing this kind of, you know, shock card in terms of this is going to be devastating for the industry. This could be this, this could be that. I'm not exaggerating on this. This is really, really damaging. And it's the my last point on it is it might be coming from a good place, but you have to be cognizant of how damaging this is to the industry. And ultimately, are you not putting any faith in a parent to look after his or her child who pays for racing TV like I do?
My last take on it is I'm very interested in the Sky Sports move to have a separate feed for, they don't have the Irish racing contract, but for Irish people to watch UK racing with a separate feed with no gambling advertising. That says to me that Sky Sports might be in the mix again for Irish racing coverage in the future.
Yeah,
I can't see it going off air. I do think it's important to have legislation for gambling, and obviously that's what we're bringing into the equation. But I also... I'm always a little bit wary of the tone of these initiatives and whether we are getting into nanny statism. I do believe in freedom. I do believe that people should, at the age of 18 or over, should be responsible enough to make their own choices, whether they gamble, whether they drink, whether they engage in any vices whatsoever.
I will absolutely be honest, JD. I've had nights at the horses where I've been had a few pints for me, or I haven't had a few pints where I've lost too much money. And I've looked at myself and I said, like, at times, how did you lose that amount of money at a race meeting? I was to blame for that. 100% I was to blame for that. Nobody else was to blame for it. And I'm in the industry a long time. We have our good nights, our bad nights. Any mistakes that I made in that regard, it wasn't a bookmaker's fault. It was my fault. But don't tell me how I can live my life.
Yeah, okay. Right. Let's get on to the next part of the show, which is to preview the big action of the weekend. So let's get into the Champion Stakes at Ascot on Saturday, Johnny. 3:55, 10 furlongs, soft ground, like you have... Calandigan, who was second behind City of Troy in the Judmont at York. You've got Economics, who won the Champion Stakes at Leopardstown, Los Angeles, third in the Ark Irish Derby winner. Really quality race here.
Ah, it's a class race, JD. So much going for it. And like, this is a brilliant card at Ascot. It's six races, which I kind of find is an interesting concept as well. I go to a lot of meets now where there are eight races, and I actually think it kind of drags a bit. Six is really, it's just really condensed in quality. And you know, we've had a lot of issues with, you know, ground in Britain this year in general. And I see Willie Mullins is talking even this week about sending... The national season is going to be fascinating because Willie's on about sending more horses to Britain.
Willie wants to go back to back.
He wants to go back to back. He wants to win the title and he wants to send more horses to Britain because he said, you've had a lot of rain there. So it's the ground is going to be soft more than would have normally been the case. But in any event, it's soft ground for Champions Day, which is appropriate. Economics for me, he's a very, very worthy favourite. My one small concern would be he ran on heavy ground as a two-year-old and he was only fourth. So I'm not sure if the soft ground is going to suit him. And he's taken on probably the highest rated Glen Eagles horse pretty much in training in the shape of Calandigan, who, by contrast, is very ground versatile and might go off favourite on the base of the ground. But I'm going to go with Los Angeles just each way. He's a horse that...
Surely over the trip. I mean, this is a stare, no?
It's a stare, but with the stablemate in the race...
Continuous.
I imagine Christoph Soumian has a few interesting rides. I'll talk about another horse he's riding later on the show and was very interesting for Ballydoyle. But I imagine Continuous's role here is to make the pace. Los Angeles, it ended up being a bit of a mess at Longchamp when... Basically, I think Ryan Moore ended up kind of making the running on him when he didn't really expect it, and because there was a kind of a lack of pace there, this isn't going to be the case here. They're going to go very hard. And he's just a very hardy, reliable horse. And I know he has ground to make up in Economics from Leopardstown. And I also know that he might be over the top at this stage, but I like his each way claims.
7-1 each way for Los Angeles, Johnny, in the Champion Stakes at Ascot on Saturday, 3:55. I'm going to go for Calandigan. I'm not going to be very original, but I just feel that the... conditions are no issue. Won over the distance in these conditions in France. Took a step forward, definitely behind City of Troy in the Judmont. That was a really good race. Interesting breeding, actually. Sindar and the family as well. So
Aga Khan pedigree. I should mention as well, the Racing Post ratings are the Racing Post people's kind of rating of a particular race. Los Angeles has Racing Post rating of 121. His last four runs. Like, that's inconsistency you literally never, ever see. And at the top level, that's saying something over different trips and grounds.
The arc is interesting because... it was a tough race, I felt, but he was still there. Like, I thought, no, he's going to just go out with like a light, but he was dogged. He's a dogged horse.
Well, you saw in the Irish Derby, you saw at York when he beat Illinois. He's very, very tough. I met him in Ballydoyle there.
Jan Bruegel beat Illinois.
Yeah. What's that, sorry?
Was it not Jan Brueghel who beat Illinois?
He beat him as well. He beat him in York, and he beat Illinois. That was in the Great Voltigeur. King's Gambit was third.
Yeah.
But that Los Angeles was just after coming out of the Irish Derby at that stage. Didn't look a great Irish Derby, but at the same time, I really liked his attitude on good to firm ground at York. But I met him at Ballydoyle. He's a bit of a character. I think there's a little bit of a Mon Dieu in him. I remember he was he's a fun horse to be around, but he's a great attitude.
McMahon and Double J. We have Ryan Moore riding in Los Angeles. Is always a bonus. Is he going to be your free tire selection?
Yeah,
McMahon and Double J.
Going to go with Los Angeles, but I have stronger selections in the second half of the show.
7-1 each way, Johnny for McMahon and Double J. Los Angeles. I'm going for Chemical Energy in the Munster National on Sunday at Limerick, good ground at 3:50. About a 14-1 shot each way. Chemical Energy. He's never had his ground. Going to get his ground this weekend. He's got Carl Miller on board, £7 claimer taken off. I think he gets the trip. I think he's due a day, Chemical Energy. He's an each way shot for me in the Munster National. And that is your Make Man a Double J. This is the Racing Pod on Off the Ball. If you're listening to the free version of the podcast, we're leaving you here. But if you're looking for more, including our look at Sunday's Munster National at Limerick in more depth and also the other races at Ascot this weekend, go to offtheball.com/join to subscribe and get the full podcast with all of our racing tips, insights and stories from the week's action.
The Racing Pod
on Off the Ball
with William Hill. Who you got? 18 plus. See gamblingcare.ie.